you were pretty confident that wasn't going to happen.
I know. Almost, I think we're ready. Nobody's waving at me here. Yeah, we do have a meeting, eventually. Nobody's waving at me. Am I good? Okay. I'd like to call to order the meeting, City Council meeting of Monday, May 20th, 2013 at 6:30 p.m. And I'd like everybody to stand for a moment of silence. And we will be remembering John Seitz, who is a lawyer who lived in Grover Beach. And he was a very respected local attorney, and his firm worked with a lot of government agencies in the county. So let's take a moment to remember John and his family. And now we will do the flag salute, and we have some folks here from Grover Beach Elementary, and Chloe Thompson is here. I believe her principal is here. We saw you last meeting also, and teacher and mom, and I want to encourage all of you, if you want to come up and take a photo, you can come up here anywhere, anytime, and do that. We won't be worried about that, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about Chloe. She's 9 years old. She's a third grade student at Grover Beach Elementary School. She thinks multiplication is much more fun now that she's learned how to do it. I have to agree with you on that. Can you do it without a calculator? That's good. That's the start. She also loves to learn about space and animals, and she likes to ask questions and learn the answers to questions. Chloe loves the beach, the wonderful weather, and the beautiful scenery along the Central Coast. Chloe wants to be a teacher when she grows up, and she would like to learn more about extinct animals and how they developed. Chloe's interests are playing soccer, reading, and writing. She likes to spend time with her family and friends. And as I mentioned, her principal, Pablo Chavero, and her teacher, Mrs. Seiden, and her mother are here this evening. So, Chloe, could you lead us in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Chloe. Come on up. And you did that so well, I think you might be a very good public speaker later, and you'll certainly be a good teacher. That was great. So we're going to have a photo right now. And where's oh, there's our photographer. We're going to look at Mrs. Petson here. One for your mom. And I'm going to give you a gift to Chloe. If you want to just shake everybody's hand, just a lot of paper.
Yes, she did. Very nice.
I like the butterfly.
Nice job,
yeah, good job. Yeah, we like that.
Yes, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Excellent job, Chloe.
And just so all of you know, if you want to see Chloe several more times, if you look at your agenda, there's a boxed-in section right at the top of it. They've got some back there, and they're also online. And in that boxed-in section right here, it tells you when you can watch us on television, and that means you can see Chloe again or anything else that you're interested in this evening. Could we have roll call, please?
Here.
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 Here. I also wanted to make sure that all of you know that even if you come for one thing and you want to stay, we'd love to have you. We'd like you to participate through the whole meeting. You don't have to. So we're going to have a closed session announcement just now, City Attorney.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor.
News, and now we've got the good news. And I believe that is Chief Copsey who's presenting that one.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the council, and the community. First of all, I'd like to call up Sergeant Lamone and Officer Reggie Bayo. If they could come stand up here while I read this. So, on Sunday, April 21st, 2013, about 1:41 p.m., Officer Reggie Bayo and Sergeant Lamone were dispatched to the 300 block of Beckett Street. That's even better. So I'll start over. On Sunday, April 21st, 2013, about 1:41 p.m., Officer Reggie Bayou and Sergeant Lamone were dispatched to the 300 block of Beckett Street for report of an assault in progress. Officer Bayou arrived first and found an unconscious, unresponsive 69-year-old man on the ground. Officer Bayou evaluated the man and determined he was not breathing and did not have a pulse. Officer Bayou and Sergeant Lamone, who arrived shortly thereafter, immediately began CPR, continuing for several minutes until the medical personnel arrived to relieve them. The victim, Mr. Benjamin Carroll, who is here tonight, thank you for showing up, and his family, was transported to the Royal Grande Community Hospital and later to the critical care unit at the Marion Medical Center in Santa Maria. Due to the quick actions of Daddy, Officer Bayou and Sergeant Lamone, Mr. Carroll survived. We hereby commend Officer Reggie Bayou and Sergeant Lamone for taking quick action that saved the life of Mr. Carroll. Now, therefore, be it known that the Gower Beach Police Department hereby awards the life-saving award to Officer Reggie Bayou and Sergeant Lamone. And now, while you're still standing up here, I'd like to call up Commander Miller. He's got a couple certificates for them. I'll give you these after.
It is my privilege to present to you the life-saving award to Sergeant Angelo Lamone and Officer Reggie Bile for your dedicated actions on April 21st, 2013, in which the life of a critically injured man was saved.
Picture with us.
Wow. Isn't that wonderful? I think we probably have a lot to say up here, but before we do, I'd like to open this for public comment, see if there's anybody from the public who'd like to come up and comment on this. Okay, seeing none, we'll close it and bring it back to the council. And I'd just like to say, Mr. Carroll, we're sure glad you're here, and here just a month afterwards, too, is wonderful. So thank you for coming tonight.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, this... Things like this don't often have a good ending. That's just wonderful.
Yeah, I'm very grateful.
Thank you. Is there anyone? If someone wants to come up, I'm going to open it again. Yeah, you're going to have to come speak in public. Sorry about that.
As we said before, those men, they were very instrumental in what happened and everything. He wouldn't be here. None of this would be possible without them, so we can't say enough about everybody involved. Just, it's amazing.
Thank you. So for the record, again, can you just tell us your name and
my name is Benjamin Carroll Jr. I'm his son. Like I said, we were there, and they were knew exactly what was happening, and they just, like I said,
well,
amazing.
Thank you.
So
it's good news.
Yes, ma'am.
That's with them being understaffed, too.
you couldn't tell. Like I said, they... Those men were exceptional, so...
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Sure. Anybody else from the public? Edie, did you want to come up, too? You'll have to tell us who you are and your city of residence, and you only get 3 minutes.
Tonight, I can be nice and happy. My name is Edie Hatton, and I really didn't know this was going to happen, but what I did, what I had to talk about anyway, had to do, but Mr. Charles and I have worked in this community for that. Anything that has to do with the homeless, where they're safe and it's healthy. So this is on health and safety. I just want to thank Bob and these guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Chief. I appreciate everything you guys have done. It's all right here. Thank you.
Thank you. And I wanted to comment that what Edie is talking about is that they found that if the bushes are trimmed up on the streets, it's less easy for people to sleep under them, which makes Grand Avenue a little bit more accessible to the public and less worrying. And so, it's true. It's all looking a lot better. And that was a homegrown solution. It was your idea, and thank you for that.
And then also, we were at the meeting one day when. Just before the elections were going on, and we had a meeting there at the church, and the people were complaining because the business people, anyway. And so that was my solution. I worked with the county, and that's what we did. Mm-hmm. And so, you always have a problem, but you have a solution, and you just go for it and get it done.
Good job.
I want to thank Rabobank, for sure, and the owner of Grand and 12th, the property there. They've all, when I call, they say, go for it, Edie, just get our people out there that are cleaning up and have them help you. So I really do want to publicly thank all of those people that work in the big, from the big to the little people.
Thanks. So if no one else has any other comments related to our police department, now I'm going to close public comment. We will open it again for general comment a little bit later. And I wanted to bring it back to the council to see if any of the council members wanted to make any comments on our recent presentation.
Well, I'd just like to say I'm very proud of Officer Bio and Sergeant mm-hmm. Lyman and their exemplary service to the city and the community in general. Thank you very much.
Any other comments?
I'm just going to echo those same thoughts and say thank you. And it's always wonderful when training and preparation meets a needed situation and you're able to fulfill that need. So thank you very much.
Well, I'll say ditto, but I've always been very proud of our police department. I know that you always respond when called, and I thank you very much for that.
My compliments to our police department and our chief. Thank you.
And I know that council members are, and I think anybody else who'd like to, are offered an opportunity to do a ride-along, and I did one, an eight-hour ride-along at one point, and I did go out with Officer Limon, and I'll tell you, they do a really good job. I was impressed. I learned a whole lot of very helpful things, so you guys do a great job. Thank you. So moving on then to our next item of business tonight. This is May 19th to 25th, is National Public Works Week, and Council Member Marshall is going to present that one because he happens to be Public Works.
Well, thank you, Mayor. I am, and I'm very honored to read this proclamation by the City of Grover Beach declaring May 19th through the 25th as National Public Works Week. Whereas public works services provided in our community are an integral part of our citizens' everyday lives, and whereas the support and understanding of informed citizenry is vital to the efficient operation of public works systems and programs such as water, sewers, streets, public buildings, and solid waste collection, and whereas the health, safety, and comfort of this community greatly depends on these facilities and services, and whereas the quality and effectiveness of these facilities, as well as their planning, design, and construction, is vitally dependent upon the efforts and skills of public works officials, and whereas in 1962, President John F. Kennedy designated the first National Public Works Week to pay tribute to our public works employees for their substantial contributions to our nation's health and welfare. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City of Grover Beach City Council does hereby proclaim the week of May 19th through 25th, 2013, as National Public Works Week.
And I think we have an employee coming forward to accept that award.
Madam Mayor, Cesar Cerante is going to come forward and accept that for the department.
Cesar, good job.
Madam Mayor, if I could,
I
would just like to say how much I personally appreciate the work that these folks do. I mean, they're basically 24/7. They're responsible for making sure the water runs, that the streets are tolerable. They keep our facilities in the best condition possible, and they're always available and always there pretty much with a smile on their face and able to get the job done. So from my perspective, I really appreciate what the entire Public Works Department and the crew in particular does.
Thank you. And I believe that you received, I recall, three awards at the Christmas party. So I don't think any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the council. We will listen to all communications. In compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot act on any items that are not on the agenda. So I will open public comment now. And if anyone would like to come forward, please give us your name, your city of residence, and we'll give you 3 minutes. Thank you.
Johnny Weissong, Grover Beach, 55 years, going on 56. When I saw this paper this morning, it lit a fire. I thought I might have to call the fire department. But you know, the police department has always been good here for some reason or other. But the last few years has been really, really good. So if you people could measure up to 1/16th of the police department and the fire department, we might have a pretty good town here. You know, I've said this is dysfunctional, and I'm not going to take my words back, because I have been in business in the Midwest for 50 years. I know what it's like. I feed the people back there. Just had a roundup this weekend, 20 people, feed the people beef. I know what business is. I worked for Safeway Bonds and Williams for 37 years. I know what business is. I know how to work, and I never faltered. I never went bankrupt or foreclosed, and I never made a company go haywire like this town, dysfunctional. You know, I called May 3rd, and I told City Hall's closed. I said, I want my water meter read by a person. December 4th, February 5th, they read my meter in my front yard. Monday morning, I get a call from a lady here, said, oh, we can't do that anymore. Well, isn't that funny? PG&E read my meter in April. Pacific Gas read my meter in May. I saw them go over to her house, and then they came to mine. I asked them, why do you read meters? I thought it was automatic now. Well, we want for accuracy. We want to know what those are on. And here, four billings last year, I paid $35 more than I should have. So how many water meters do you have in town? And how many are faulty? How many are malfunctioning?
I'll take your questions, and we can address them at the end.
35 times 1,000, we'll say. Mm-hmm. That's $35,000 that somewhere, and then you call Public Works. Well, water is Public Works, and there's two people sitting here with Public Works. I don't understand. You were going to call, but you didn't. I know he told you not to. But you know, this is dysfunctional the way you have done, because common sense, practical experience, and common knowledge tells you that you're just like Clint Eastwood said. We own the town. We own the country. You work for us. We don't work for you. You get paid by the taxpayers. And I don't like that way of, that's just wrong. So, here a while back, I fell over bombs. I didn't bring in pictures because I didn't have time. But as the truck backs in, there's a 4-foot, 4-inch pipe guardrail for the wall.
Mr. Weissong, that's three minutes now.
Yes, I understand. But over here on the sidewalk, there's nothing. Now, 1, 2, 3, plants. And
we're going to have you wind up, but maybe you could bring that to us next time.
I'm just telling you, this is dysfunctional, and there's no reason why there shouldn't be a guardrail over there.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to come forward? If you could give us your name and city of residence. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Charles Vincent Flores, F-L-O-R-E-Z. I reside here in Grover Beach. I work at the Barbers Guild, and I volunteer at the People's Kitchen, feeding the homeless. Okay, over there, I started going there 12 years ago because I was homeless. I was a drug addict, alcoholic, and had mental issues. Okay, not today. I had to go to recovery. I had to do a lot of things to be where I'm at today. You know, I'm still on my medication. Okay, and dealing with the homeless situation today, because I volunteer at the People's Kitchen. I see, my God, it's sometimes 8 to 10 new peoples a week. Mm-hmm. And they're coming from somewhere. And they're bringing backpacks, animals. We're going to have a little problem here. I don't know how we're going to work on this. But as long as we have them downtown in the residential area, we're going to have problems. Because a lot of times they don't want to leave where they're being fed. They want to be as close as possible. I don't know how. I heard things about having a day thing open for them. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Chief.
Thank you. Jim Copsey, City of Rio Grande, Chief of Police in Grover Beach. I'd like to take the opportunity to make an announcement for the Special Olympics South mm-hmm. County Tippecanoe Dinner. And I would be happy to serve any of you. Our local law enforcement will be serving the public for tips for Special Olympics. It's a fundraising dinner featuring local law enforcement officers as servers. All money raised and the tips that we gain that night will benefit more than 700 local athletes of Special Olympics. This dinner is this coming Thursday evening, May 23rd. There's two seatings, one at 5:30 and one at 7 o'clock, and it's at the South County Regional Center. So you can see me from the public, give me a call. We've got some tickets left, or you can show up that night. Price of $20 includes tri-tip, chicken, ribs, and a vegetarian dinner if you choose. So again, this Thursday, May 23rd, at the South County Regional Center, come support your Special Olympics and the law enforcement serving you. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to come forward? Is it different than your last?
Yes, because
okay.
We're talking about the homeless situation.
Come on up.
Thank you, Mr. Charles. Okay. Well, my name is Edie again. Following up on what Mr. Charles is talking about, we do need to have some place where now that they can't be sleeping under the bushes. No one in Grover Beach should be sleeping under the bushes at all. So none of us should go home every night and sleep in a nice, cozy place, especially during the rain. This Saturday, after I finished my cleaning, after I saw Bob, I ride the bus a lot to wherever I'm going. I usually don't take my car. But there was a family that was there, two children, and they went to eat. And some of the churches, do offer vouchers for people to stay, take the children so they can sleep at night and get a little shower. So we have some of the homeless people, I call them our temporary homeless people, that are out there in Ramona Park in the morning. And so they are on a mission. Not everybody out here that's, the ones that we have a problem with are the ones that are coming from far away, different towns, that we don't know them. But the people that we do know, we can trust them. He's been my security person forever in my business. I trust Mr. Charles with anything. And but we need to do something about, giving these people a place. We need to move our hearts. I mean, it's biblical. If any of you guys go to church, we need to, it needs to move our hearts. Sometimes you see me in real life. I'm in real life right now. You'll see me. I'm very upfront because I have lack of interest on who likes me or who doesn't like me. I have things to do in the community, and I just do them. And so I don't sometimes ask permission. I just go and get them done. So I think that we should think about what Mr. Charles has to say. I listen, and I have total respect from all those people at the kitchen. And so if I need them to help me in any way, they help me. But I think that they should have some place for them to go in the mornings to get a shower. You have children, find a place to eat because sometimes they don't know. So until they move on to go somewhere else, we need to let them know where they can go and eat. Heaven forbid that it would be one of my children. So that I'm going to leave you with that. Jeff, please look into that. I know that I talked to Jenna, and she was very kind and sent me a flyer, some information on what's going on with them. And so I won't be able to get involved in that, but I know that she's on it. So I really appreciate that. So I do my thing on the other end, but please go and take care of those people that are out there in the street. Thank you.
Thank you, Edie. Is there anyone else from the public who'd like to come forward? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council, and maybe we could address some of the comments that were made. First of all, Mr. Wysong, I understand that we are going to be looking at how we're reading our meters in future, and I don't believe we've got to that yet on our agenda, but I think that might be something that's coming up. Mr. Flores, he's left, but just wanted to comment. We do, as Edie mentioned, Jeff, Council Member Jeff Lee, is actually our homeless representative, and Lee's changed. Yeah, Lee's our alternate. Yeah, right. Sorry. Yeah, we moved the goalpost there. Council Member Marshall is our representative, and I know that the council takes it very seriously. It's a problem that we need to manage. And Council Member Nichols also represented the city with that issue, too. So it will be moving off of Grand Avenue because the church, I believe, is moving. And so that will change, but the problem doesn't change. We still need to address it. And I think...
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. Is that loud enough? Back in March of 2012, the council adopted amendments to the Local Coastal Program, also referred to as the LCP, which were related to both the Grover Beach Lodge and the Public Works section or chapter of the Local Coastal Program. The revisions included changes to height and access for the Grover Beach Lodge project and updates to the Public Works section, primarily regarded to water and sewer capacity. The amendment also proposed to allow an equestrian staging area on the south side of West Grand Avenue. These amendments were forwarded to the Coastal Commission back in March of 2012, and last month in April of 2013, the Coastal Commission did approve the Local Coastal Program amendments with several modifications. And as the council is aware, the one modification that was not approved was to allow the equestrian, did not allow the equestrians on the south side of West Grand Avenue. In order for the Coastal Commission certification to become effective now, the council must formally adopt the LCP amendment as certified by the Coastal Commission. If the council accepts the modifications tonight, the amendment will become effective upon the executive director of the Coastal Commission reporting his determination of adequacy to the Coastal Commission, likely at their meeting in July. Upon completion of this process, the LCP amendment certification, the City Council can then hold a public hearing to consider formal and final approval of the Lodge project by adopting the Coastal Development Permit, or CDP, because the CDP that the Council will consider will then be consistent with a local coastal program. Back in June of 2012, the Council action was to, in concept, approve the Coastal Development Permit because at that time it wasn't consistent with the LCP. Hence, all you could do was approve it in concept. If the Coastal Development Permit then is approved by the Council later this year and no appeal is made to the Coastal Commission, the entitlement process for the Lodge would now be completed. As a result of the Coastal Commission denying the location of the equestrian staging area on the south side of West Grand, city staff has met with county staff again recently, including supervisors Hill and Teixeira, regarding a possible alternative site located in Oceano, and one site has been identified, and county staff is currently reviewing that, and there is continued discussion between the city and the county regarding that. So in addition to completing the entitlement process, the formal adoption of the Coastal Development Permit by the council, there are several other steps that will need to be completed prior to Pacific Companies actually starting construction on the project. And those items are as follows. The council and Pacifica will need to approve the financing agreement, implementing the conception or the financing plan that the council approved last year. Approval of a coastal development permit by the city of Pismo Beach because of the relocation of the dump station to the North Beach campground. There will need to be revisions to Pacifica's concessionaire agreement to reflect the site plan changes that were a result of the master plan. JA approval of the design, development, and construction drawings, and also the city's completion of the West Grand Avenue frontage improvements, extension of the water main, and undergrounding of existing utilities. So all those things we will continue to be working on. In conclusion, staff is recommending the council adopt the resolution accepting the California Coastal Commission's certification of the local coastal program amendments related to the lodge and the public works section. And that concludes staff's report.
Thank you. Does the council have any questions of staff? Start at this end with Jeff Lee. Councilmember Lee?
Just had a couple hopefully easy questions for you. With that 30-year process, these are going to be easy questions. So, once the Coastal Commission goes back and recertifies or reaffirms that in July, what's the length of time that the approval is good for after that?
Well, that will then complete the local coastal program amendment. So we'll formally change out the pages, and it's adopted.
Okay.
And then soon thereafter, we will hold a public hearing and bring the coastal development permit for the project back to the council.
So there's no sunset clause of 3 years or 36 months that we have to break ground for from the Coastal Commission standpoint?
No.
Not for the LCP?
Correct. It operates more like a general plan. Once the policies are adopted, they would stay in place.
Okay, great. And then we come back and the council considers and approves, hopefully, the actual project itself. Gut feeling, anybody out there that's going to then take it back to the Coastal Commission on appeal?
Well,
obviously, there's always someone who has that opportunity, but...
Sure, but the grounds for appeal are based on finding inconsistencies with the local coastal program. And so the hope here is... As staff, the applicant state, and all working together with the coastal staff on fine-tuning a lot of these modifications, at this point we believe that the proposed project by Pacific...
Have you been in conversations with them as far as relocating the dump station?
Yes.
Okay.
That conversation started when the state parks proposed that as a viable alternative a couple years ago.
And do you foresee any issues?
All the conversations we've had to date have been positive.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to open this to the public, and I'd like to recognize that we do have a former mayor in our midst, Mayor John Schultz. It's great to see you again. And anyone wishing to speak, come forward, give us their name, and we'll give you 3 minutes.
Good evening, Mayor Peterson and members of the council. It's good to see everyone. Councilmember Marshall, I love the tie. Excellent tie. I just wanted to come forward. I'm John Schultz. I reside at 1185 Encinitas Court, and I'm also continuing on the Lodge Subcommittee as a member. Thank you for allowing me that honor. We know that I want to thank the council for its continued support for the Lodge and Conference Center. We know this has been a long journey, a lot of hard work by a lot of good people, many of who are in this chamber tonight. So while we did not get everything that we asked for at the Coastal Commission in April, I think we can all agree that that decision by the Coastal Commission is seen by the community as a positive in moving this project forward. So I would just encourage the council tonight to adopt a resolution accepting the modifications as proposed by the commission. One thing that it really does is that when we started making some changes to this project, there were some timelines that Pacifica, the developer, was given to perform. So by moving to that next step, we're able to give them a timeline to get them moving this project forward, to go beyond just the entitlement to construction drawings and to get actual construction happening. It's been talked about the equestrian staging area, and I think Bruce did a very good job of explaining where we are in that process. I do want to commend staff for doing a very good job of working with the equestrian community, and in particular City Manager Peralt. And I know there have been some discussions with a couple of the supervisors, and I believe there is a viable alternative out there. This gives us some time. So also, there are some next steps staff outlined. I want to encourage you to move forward. But I just wanted to say I'm here just to demonstrate my commitment to this project, to this community. And if there's any questions you have of me, I'm more than happy to answer them. But thank you for your time tonight.
So don't go away yet in case there are questions. Are there any questions from the council?
No, I have none.
No, none. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to come forward? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council for council member comments and discussion and a vote. Any discussion from any of the council members?
I'm ready to support this resolution. So there isn't any discussion, I'm ready to make a motion.
Any other discussion?
No discussion.
Well, I just have a little bit, and that is that on two occasions, I'd say between the two, we've had 250 people from the public come forward in support of this, and it hasn't just been Glover Beach citizens, but it's been businesses from throughout the South County. It's been elected officials from the throughout the South County, and it's been public agencies from throughout the county. So we've had really wide support on all of this, and I can attest to the fact that there's been years, 10 years in your case, John, of work making this come forward, and another 22 years before that. None of us were here working on it at that time. So it's been a wonderful community project, and I'm ready to accept a motion.
All righty then. I guess I'll go forward with that. So then, I would move that we adopt the resolution accepting the California Coastal Commission's certification of local coastal program amendments related to the Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center and Public Works Chapter.
And I'll second that motion.
So we have a motion from Mayor Pro Tem Bright, a second from Council Member Nichols. Could we have roll call, please?
Yes.
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 Yes. Unanimous. We did it. Good job.
Mayor, before we move on, sure. I would like to make a couple of comments. I would like to thank former Mayor Scholes. Mm-hmm. I know that he got involved in this project and really started to bring it to fruition probably a good 8 years ago. In fact, it was before I got on the council, and I used to sit in the front row and listen to a lot of the conversation that went on relating to this project. But I think we owe him a great deal, a debt of gratitude, for his efforts in bringing this project forward. I believe former Mayor Steve Lieberman worked very closely with Mayor Scholes, but I also want to commend former Mayor Scholes for volunteering to stay on the committee, working with the state and the developer in bringing this project to its completion. He volunteers his time now. He's not on the council anymore, associated with it in...
Six.
So moved.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. One's a voice vote, one's a roll call, so let's do a roll call for both.
Yes.
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 Yes. And with the pulled ones, we will schedule those for the end of the regular business schedule, so we'll come back to those. Which then brings us to regular business, and we have the preliminary presentation of the proposed fiscal year 14 budget, and City Manager Perrault is going to present that.
Yes, Madam Mayor, members of the council. First of all, by way of introduction, this is, for me, one of the most exciting times of the year. Now, what that means is we really get a chance to take a look at how we're going to plan the city, the activities for the city for the year to come. Now, in terms of folks that may be listening in the audience or out there, I know that sometimes this is akin to a treasurer's report if you go to an organizational meeting. And sometimes those are the ones that draw the most yawns. But I've got to say that usually it's the treasurer's report that is probably the most important report of the meeting. So what I'm hoping to do is tonight, with this initial presentation, is to lay the groundwork for further participation in the budget process. So in essence, the purpose of this meeting is simply to review the budget document, discuss its background, some of the general elements that have gone into its preparation, and some of the items that you'll need to consider as we go through the process. Then, of course, this offers you an opportunity to answer some initial questions regarding the budget. But please remember, the final action I'm going to be asking for you is to move forward and set a formal hearing for the budget review, which I'm asking be done at your next regularly scheduled meeting, which is June 3rd. Certainly would hope that this will offer the opportunity for both the council as well as members of the public to take a strong look at the budget document and the plan that we're attempting to develop for the coming year. Having said that, I want to give you a bit of an overview. First of all, I want to just cover where we've been. It's been, in times, a difficult journey, if you will. If you recall, in FY10, FY11, and FY12, the budget general fund experienced some significant decreases. These decreases were largely due to the recession and existed both in property tax and sales tax. Our sales tax fell considerably, our property tax more like about 12% over the 3 years. Last year, we were further impacted with the dissolution of the Improvement Agency. In essence, we saw an annual amount of $800,000 to $1 million essentially be redistributed to other taxing entities, and those dollars were no longer available for city use. That decision, again, was made by the state of California in an attempt to solve some of its own budget issues. Additionally, during FY13, we merged the Community Development Enterprise Fund with the General Fund. And we did that because we were finding that the level of development was not supporting an independent fund, and therefore made the decision to merge those funds in order to avoid further deficits. In FY11 and FY12, unfortunately, the city had to use reserve funds to balance this budget. Last year, the council made a critical decision and essentially provided direction to staff to avoid the use of reserves and reduce expenditures in all major funds to a sustainable level. The reason that that was important was because we all recognized that while it didn't take very long for us to descend, if you will, as a result of the recession into the difficulties we were having, it was going to take us a while to dig out. So consequently, we had to identify and come to terms with a sustainable level. We were able to do that by making some very hard and difficult choices. As you'll recall, key city staff personnel was reduced. 4 full-time staff members and 3 part-time staff members were reduced. That was the best decision to make. We sold that property for $150,000. Additionally, the council implemented the stormwater fees to cover the costs of a state-mandated program. I want to point out that that program is costing us upwards of $150,000 a year, and if those stormwater impact fees hadn't been implemented, those dollars would also be coming out of the general fund. We also adjusted water and sewer rates minimally to ensure that those budgets remain balanced. There were, however, in this last year, some bright spots, and there continue to be, and I wanted to bring those to your attention. The city did receive some one-time unanticipated revenue, and these revenues were used to restore the reserve balances that had previously been depleted. City received $180,000 from the Improvement Agency's Dissolved Housing Fund, while we gave $900,000 back to the county auditor that had been collecting for housing fund programs. We were able at least to retain or get back $180,000 of those dollars and place those into the general fund. The city also received $128,000 return in previously property tax administrative fees that were collected by the county and returned to us as a result of a court decision. Additionally, in terms of bright spots, I want to point out as we approach next year, we will see some slight growth in building, and we will see some slight improvements with our revenue. Ultimately, the approach that staff has taken in terms of developing the budget for FY14 is maintain the sustainable approach to budgeting. It was a very conservative approach last year. As we continue to dig our way out, staff is advising that we continue to follow this approach. It is prudent and continues to avoid use of reserves. Staff paid attention to the council-approved goals and work program that the council spent some time on in developing over the last couple of months. These were used in putting together the budget and completing the council's direction. In terms of the budget itself, the citywide budget has a combined expenditure level of $15,402,514. That is split. The majority of that is in the general fund, with 47% going to the general fund. The enterprise fund makes up about 31%, and special revenue funds make up about 22%. As you look through your document, you're going to find that it has been separated into different components. Those components include the citywide budget, the general fund, special revenue funds, enterprise funds, capital improvement, and the capital improvement program. Turning to the general fund, by revenues, I would like to indicate that, again, our revenues are expected to come in at about the $7.2 million level. Property tax continues to be the top generator at 48%. Sales tax is 20%. And as you can see, there is charges for services only make up 5% of the anticipated budget as designated on the chart. General fund expenditures next by department. Again, this comes in at about $7,261,532. 46% of that pie is spent in the police department. The 18% is spent in what is called the non-departmental department, and the reason that percentage is so high is because it contains the fire contract at $1.2 million. Public works and utilities makes up 11% of that budget, community development 7%, administrative services 5%, Parks and Rec 5%, and City Management 8%. In order to put this budget together, we needed to let you know what it currently includes. First of all, there is an initial imbalance, another increased by about 7% from the previous year's actual. So we're actually looking at getting close to the $800,000 level, which is where we were before the recession actually started. The general fund budget also includes the following. Five Cities Fire Authority has indicated a willingness to maintain the same level of contribution, which is slightly, as I've already mentioned, slightly more than $1.2 million. In keeping with the council's goals and work program, we will be adding a police officer during the course of the year. This is not actually an addition. It's unfreezing a position, if you will, and it will take our sworn personnel up to 17. It's still short of the 19 that we would prefer to have, but obviously it's an improvement. Street rehabilitation program, I think it's important to note that there are no general fund dollars within the recommended within the street rehabilitation program. This is about the second year that that's taken place. We have, however, identified funding for the street rehabilitation program to the tune of about $400,000. That will be coming from gas tax fund as well as the local transportation funds. I do want to note, just as an aside, that about back in 2006, the council placed a measure on the ballot to increase our sales tax by 0.5%. And that has happened. We have seen an increase in that special sales tax. It's now yielding about $600,000 a year. At one time, we had hoped to use approximately half of that amount on the streets. As I've said, in the last couple of years, we have been precluded from doing that because we needed those dollars purely to keep our general fund basic services moving. I also want you to note that had the voters not enacted that half-cent sales tax back in 2006, you'd be looking at a deficit that would be more akin to $686,000 rather than the $86,000 that you're currently dealing with. Grover Beach Municipal Network, this budget contemplates setting aside $44,000 for the financing of that construction. I also wanted you to note that we have received certain agency requests and included a minimum funding for the following agencies in the budget: the Chamber of Commerce, the San Luis Obispo County Visitors and Conference Bureau, Economic Vitality Corporation, and the Housing Trust Fund. The council has historically provided funding for these agencies. Shifting to the wastewater fund, I want you to know that the revenues have been budgeted at $2,123,000, and the expenditures are at $2,142,959. Reserves remain healthy with the wastewater fund at $2,721,504. The water fund revenues are estimated to be $3,115,463, while expenditures are estimated at $3,113,784. The capital that is currently budgeted in the water fund is $143,000. And that will be for water main upgrades that we desperately need to undertake. I will note that we've also filed a CDBG application for to complete those upgrades. And if we're successful in receiving that grant application, that could increase the capital for this project considerably. The water reserves are at a modest $421,189. They do meet city's policy of 10% of operating funds for the water fund. However, it is important to note that that's not a very deep reserve at all, and we may need to further review the water fund as we get into the year to determine whether additional rate adjustments might be necessary. The capital improvement program has 18 projects in the capital improvement program. West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project Phase 3 is probably the largest project at slightly more than $900,000. That is, I wanted to go over those. The city's financial policies require that the city strive to maintain a minimum of 20% in those 20% of the general fund's operating funds in reserves. As in previous years, we'd actually dip down from this considerably. At one point, we were our reserve level, which should be at about $1.8 million, had been at about $1.3 million. The important thing to remember about reserves is during the first part of the fiscal year, it's critical because we need to use those cash reserves to actually meet our initial obligations, because the city doesn't receive its primary revenue until November or December of the year. So it's important to realize that we need to make sure that cash balance is maintained amply at a level that you can ensure that those initial obligations are taken care of. This year, we're projecting at the end of FY14 to have $1,831,769 in a cash reserve. This is actually 25.2% of the operating budget. While it sounds like a lot, 1.8 is not all that much. And I would actually encourage that at some point it would be worthy of the council to do a further review of the revenue process to see if those the reserve process to see if those reserves might be edged up just a bit more to offset against future depletions in revenue that may from time to time occur. As I've said, the purpose of this meeting is primarily to lay out the budget, to discuss general themes, to discuss our approach, and answer any initial questions you might have, and then set the hearing date for the formal consideration of the FY 14 budget. It's always a complicated affair, but believe me, it's been a lot of fun, and thanks to the rest of fiscal staff for assisting in putting this together. That concludes my presentation, and I'm available, and we're available for questions.
Thank you. That was a great report, and I'm so glad that you find it fun. It is fun. It's kind of like a crossword puzzle. How do you figure it all out and do the best job? So I noticed that the Mayor Pro Tem has a lot of stickies in her budget. Did you have questions?
I have a few. I'd be more than willing to go last, though, if you want me to. Or no? Want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay. Sure. Well, I don't have a whole lot because I kind of just thought I'd just kind of mull this over for the next couple of weeks as well. But so if we could look at the operating budget overview, and this is page 7, citywide, item 6, revenue growth. It says that the estimated general fund revenues are $6,650,000 and change. This represents a decrease of approximately $294,000 and change. Now, is this as a result of the return of the property tax from the county and that sort of thing, or?
Yeah, it's generally where you're seeing the reduction is in the property tax area, and that's because we actually had a bubble with the receipt of those revenues.
Okay, thank you. Then if we could go to Section 5, Enterprise Funds. This is the Water Fund Revenue Detail, page 14. And it's actually under the fund, the water account, the Water Development Impact Fee.
We actually are going to see some actual increases in impact fees as a result of the development that we're expecting to occur this year.
Okay. Thank you. That makes sense. Then on the next page, 15, under salaries and fringe benefits, we have an increase of about 8%.
If you'll recall, and maybe I wasn't clear on that, this is fully budgeted at without any concessions. When you compare it,
folder I'm seeing is Councilmember Lee.
And actually, my questions don't have to do with my stickies. If that's if
you ask whatever questions you want.
Okay, I had two questions that were kind of remaining after the city manager gave that report, which was I appreciate that. And I did have a chance to talk with him on Saturday, so I did have he was able to fill me in on a number of items before that. Two questions was the additionally funded in this budget police a police member. Now, what happens if that position is not filled until December, January? Does effectively the budget see an increase?
Yes, it would be unspent, an under expenditure, if you will.
Okay.
We're hoping to have that filled actually by October.
Okay.
And I know the chief will be gearing up to make sure that that happens as quickly as possible. He's not going to want it to go to December.
Okay. And then my only other question was not something that actually impacts this budget, but potential future budgets, is the fact of the incoming, and I forget the actual specific name for it, but Obamacare is going to take effect.
Thanks for bringing that up, because that is an issue. I alluded to it, I believe, in the report that's still sitting out there. Americans Care Act will actually impact employers with that have 50 employees or more. And what it requires is that we have to make available to all of our part-time staff health insurance coverage if they're working 32 hours or more. The reality is we have very few part-time staff members in this city. We have, I believe, three reserve police officers.
Two
reserve police officers. One maintenance individual, and then the council themselves, depending on how they're classified. Arroyo Grande and Pismo Beach are in a much more difficult situation because they use a lot of seasonal part-time staff, and so they're going to. It will likely be a larger impact for them than it will be for us. But I should make you aware that the fire authority will also be impacted by the ACA because they depend on reserve firefighters. I think they have about 20 of them, if I'm not mistaken. And that could then, in turn, impact us. But we still don't know what the specifics on that will be and won't for a little bit more time.
Okay. Councilmember Marshall, did you have questions?
Sure. A couple things. Just for my edification, you had mentioned the sales tax and how we've been using it the past couple of years to offset the economy. And I'm trying to remember, when we passed it, was it under the...
It was a general tax.
It was a general tax.
Right.
Prop 218. But wasn't it touted as being for... It wasn't product paid to 218.
It was a regular tax.
Just a regular...
Taken to the voters
okay. For
any general fund purposes.
Any general fund purposes, but it was specifically for the street sale? Or
no.
I mean, was that how it was advertised in a way?
A lot of individuals spoke about spending it
okay.
In that way.
Okay. And is there any public...
There is no binding requirement.
Okay.
It has been an issue, obviously, but the council's had to make some very difficult decisions
sure.
in terms of setting priorities, and that has meant streets versus basic services.
Completely understand. I'm just thinking there's probably expectations out there that
and we
probably
talk about that every budget time as we've gone through it. But that is why we've also made an attempt, especially in this year, while we're not using general funds, we're using about $400,000 in other funding sources to get what we can get done with the streets.
Okay. Secondly, we've got some revenues coming in that you've associated with the subdivision and the hotel on El Camino. Is it too premature to add the hotel on El Camino? And if that was taken out of this budget, would it be a big enough impact where that $86,000 would...
You know, it's always a projecting game, mm-hmm. if you will. Obviously, if you were to pull that revenue out, you'd end up with a revenue deduction, but there'd also be to a certain...
A substantial problem. that we are working on. But I'm sure he's going to come up with a reasonable solution. We got a good chief in there. I would also like to ask staff on the grant application that we put in, what was the amount of that?
Do you recall, Bruce, what the actual amount was? It was less than $2 million, if I'm not mistaken.
1.2
for water.
Okay, that's what I thought. I wasn't sure. Thank you. I appreciate that. The only other comment that I would like to make is, I get the risk of repeating myself and what so many other people have said, we cannot use the grant money that we are spending on Grand Avenue and some of the other major arteries on our residential streets. That cannot be done. I continue to talk to residents that live in this community, and they continue to ask me why we keep spending money on Grand Avenue and they got a street in front of their house that's full of potholes, and I have to continue to explain to them that the grant money that we get cannot be used on residential streets, and I just wanted to emphasize that point again. Otherwise, I think our city manager is doing an outstanding job, as was indicated in the front page of the Tribune today. Got a great article and a write-up as to how well Grover Beach is doing compared to some of the other communities, and I think we owe it all to our city manager and his staff, all of the staff. And I compliment you and thank you.
Me too. Good job. Thank you. I have a few questions, and I believe that the city manager did say this was a huge document, a lot to absorb over 3 or 4 days, and so you were hoping that we would come back to you with any other questions over the course of the next couple of weeks, and we hope that all of you out there in the public will be reading it too and coming back with questions. So just a few little ones initially from me too. On the emergency reserve under citywide, page 6, you stated that our emergency reserve falls short of what our goal would be for
right.
It. Is it possible to take some of the excess funds in the general fund and shift them over to that, or does that present complications?
Well, what this does is, as it's set up, it's a priority system per se. You have to at least have the initial 5% in. Gala, it's the
contingency.
The second is a 10% requirement for
general reserve,
and then the final reserve amount is supposed to be an additional. The minimum is a 10%, but it has a goal of equaling the top revenue amount, which in this case would be property tax, and close to $3 million. The point about that is we've never come close, and as my understanding is, to achieving that goal. Your reserves are structured so it makes sure that we're taking care of those first two reserve funds first, and then the remainder goes to the final fund there.
The emergency reserve.
So that's the order. So I know that we are a little bit over we're at 25.2% of our general fund. So that gives us, there's 5% that could be shifted around, I'm assuming. That's at the top of this page, the projected general. That's as of June 30. So that's in a year. We're not there yet. So this is a conversation we can revisit in June 2014.
Right.
Okay. I'll save that one for next year. The next one, key financial issues ahead, citywide, page 8. Let's see what my note was here. Oh, our city's financial policy, this is the second to last paragraph, states that only ongoing revenues will be used to fund ongoing expenditures, and that our current budget doesn't fall within the city's financial policy. Do you anticipate we'll fix that before 2 weeks from now?
If we if the budget is adopted and that's our intent, the ultimate budget will be balanced. It would avoid the use of reserves and therefore be within that policy.
Okay.
And we would not be using any one-time revenues. In fact, this year we don't anticipate receiving any one-time revenues, so we're not looking to use those for ongoing costs at all.
Thank you. And then citywide, page 13.
Permit.
Okay.
All
Thank
we're
you.
Budgeting at this point is the potential of $44,000 to use to fund that debt instrument should that it become available.
So the term pay as you go means when the money comes up, you
right.
spend it.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful. And that's all I had. Are there any other questions before we open it to public comment? Okay, so I'm going to open this to public comment. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to come forward? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council. Any comments?
I'd like to make a motion.
Okay.
I'd like to make a quick comment, though. And I want to say you did an excellent job. It was really, for such a massive document, it was fairly easy to get through. And I must say, if you haven't looked at the companion document, you should. Because it kind of really helps you see where the money's going. So, for all of you out there in TV land, those of you who are going to read this budget, take a look at that. Okay.
Okay.
Now, please.
I would like to move that we receive the fiscal year 14 budget and set the formal budget hearing for Monday, June 3rd, 2013.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion and a second. It's a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, it's unanimous. And number 9, next on our agenda, is revisions to the appointment of council members to various boards, commissions, and committees. And City Manager Peralta has done some work on this for us.
Madam Mayor, as you'll recall, we still have one committee assignment to essentially fill, and that is to the Water Resources Advisory Committee. This is a committee that where the council selects representation, and that representation has to be approved by the County Board of Supervisors. And the committee is used to review policy decisions relating to water resources of the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District, and to recommend specific water resource programs and methods of financing those programs. As I noted in the staff report, meetings are the first Wednesday of each month, except during the months of July and August, and the meetings begin at 1:30 p.m. According to county staff, as I've already pointed out, the representatives are required to be approved by the Board of Supervisors. Essentially, you nominate them and the Board of Supervisors approves them. The appointment need not be a council member, but does need to be knowledgeable regarding water issues. County staff indicated that what several cities do is they'll actually have a council member serve in the lead spot, a representative spot, so that that individual can be available in case there are any policy discussions that it would be appropriate for the council member to be involved in, but then designate the alternate as a staff member, and the alternate then in turn attends most of those meetings. And I've had discussions with the city engineer, and he's indicated that he could be available to attend those monthly meetings as an alternate. So that's an option that the council has. I would suggest that you go ahead, make your decision, adopt the resolution, and fill the RAC positions. Concludes the report.
Thank you very much. Any questions of staff?
No questions.
No questions? Okay. I'm going to open it to the public real quickly. Anybody from the public wants to comment? Volunteer? Okay. We'll bring it back to the council. Okay, you can... You're on.
I'm stuck. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't have anything to say?
No comments.
Okay. Any council member comments on this or discussion?
I have one comment. I would like to move that we adopt this resolution that sets before us here, which has Mr. Marshall as the representative to the RAC, and as his alternate, we have Mr. Greg Ray, who I think will do an outstanding job, and I think it's a great idea.
Unfortunately, I have a conflict. Mm-mm. I can't do it. I can't be either an alternate or the primary. I'm sorry.
County Council says it's right. A conflict of interest, yeah. and that's why we are where we are right now.
And that includes the left side of the dais.
So it's going to have to.
So don't look down here. Sorry.
It's going to have to be me. The only problem is that sometimes I just can't be there. So that's the problem. So my only, I guess.
With his knowledge and expertise, maybe the two of us could work very well together.
I'm sure you can. Thank you for doing that.
Yes, thank you.
So we have a motion. Did we have a second on that?
Second.
Okay, so motion and a second. This one's a roll call, I believe.
Yes.
Yes.
Notwithstanding the exuberance on our city engineer's face, I'll vote yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's unanimous again. It's been a unanimous night. Well, let's have a little dissension amongst the ranks, okay? See if we can bring that up now. So we're coming back to the consent agenda, and I wanted to pull number five, which was minutes of the City Council meeting of May 6th, 2013. And my reason for that was because I wanted to just be very clear for the public. I know that people don't often come back and read these minutes, but just in case, we had in public comment, Supervisor Hill came along and gave us some good news about helping us find equestrian locations for the lodge. He also was questioned, and this is the top page of, let's see, it's the City Council minutes, page 3, the top paragraph. Regarding the La Grande tract, he noted the board would first need to address concerns regarding air quality on the Napomo Mesa. And what I wanted to make clear was that he said at the beginning of those comments and the end of those comments, and I did go through and listen to the tape to be sure, that the two were not related. And so I think we need to say somewhere in there that although there's no relationship, he feels that. Because this isn't a decision that was taken by the supervisors. It's his feeling, and he acknowledged that the two were not related. So I'm not sure if we could maybe just say,
on the unrelated item.
Sorry? Unrelated
on
items.
An unrelated item,
right.
Et cetera, and then put in that sentence.
Yeah, that the two were not, that one is not contingent on the other, they're not related, the La Grande tract and the air quality on the Mesa. The issues that were not related were, he stated that the board, that the supervisors would first need to address concerns regarding air quality on the Napomo Mesa before they could consider the La Grande tract.
How about he felt?
Yeah, he
thought.
He felt.
Or he felt.
It's his opinion. Or
his
yeah.
opinion was.
Right.
How about that?
The way he stated it was that the two were unrelated. He didn't say it's my opinion. He said the two are unrelated. However, one needs, although I know that it is his opinion.
So how about if we simply put in those two were issues were not related as a last sentence?
Okay. Yeah. I think that is more clear about what he actually said and about what the situation is there. Because they could both go forward. He just thinks that one should be done before the other. And then the other one I wanted to that Council Member Lee wanted to pull. Did you want to talk about that one?
It was just a discussion item on item, was it number 7, I believe it is, the authorization to amend the agreement between the city and the Wallace Group for professional
Madam
services.
Madam Mayor, Council Members, since these items were pulled individually, I would recommend that council take action on number five before we move on to number seven.
Okay. Well, in that case, then, it's a voice vote on the minutes, and since I pulled it, I'll move approval with the changes.
And, Mayor, again, I apologize, but anybody but you could make that motion.
Anybody but me could make that motion.
I don't like those changes. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I said I wanted some dissension.
I move for staff's recommendation with the modifications as made by the mayor on item five.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Can all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, that one's carried unanimously. So then we'll go and pull item number seven, which Councilmember Lee had requested.
And again, this was just for discussion. I wanted the city engineer an opportunity to provide some reasoning for why it was such a large change order and kind of what the steps are in order to get the project to completion. So.
Okay. So generally, when we initially budgeted the project and looked at the complexity of the work, although it was a federal project, and maybe we should have been a little more cautious about considering the amount of effort necessary to properly administer a federal project, you know, the project really only involves three or four trades at the most, and it's mostly concrete, a minor amount of underground work, and some minor asphalt work. So with the Wallace Group, after they successfully competed for the CM contract, and looking at, you know, do you think we could manage part-time construction management on this and part-time inspection? That was the dream world and the best of all realities. Unfortunately, we didn't get there. The project's been a lot more complex than we thought it would be. There's been some challenges. A couple things. I'll just list a little number of items. You know, one is that we ran into some challenges with the concrete color and the concrete finishing of that fairly unique, you know, salt finish with a colored look. And we also ran into some problems with the existing concrete U channels that the pavers are seated in. The depth wasn't what we had originally anticipated, and so we ended up having to increase the amount of concrete in that. We lost some time as a result of that and had to work through some complex change orders and some design changes. On top of that, the primary part of this contract, which is concrete work, and also happened to be the only DBE subcontractor on the project, basically was removed from the job. They lost their contractor's license about midway through the job. So, you know, unfortunately, Murphy's Law took effect, and we did run into a lot of challenges. It's a significant increase in terms of Wallace's original budget estimate on the project. But if you do look at the total cost of soft costs on this project related to the cost of construction, I believe we're at about 16% total soft costs. That's CM, grant administration. It's a federal project and significant grant administration. That's construction survey and inspection and testing work with its Earth Systems consulting. So, you know, again, it does look significant if you look at the percentages from their contract standpoint, but I think from the project standpoint, I think we're still well within a reasonable estimate for this kind of project.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. So if I could just ask a couple more questions. So with this contract, realizing that we've still got some work to do, the completion time is going to be extended until approximately when?
We're looking at it'll be early July.
Early July.
Major work will be completed before the July 4th holiday. We've got a schedule from the contractor that suggests that we'll, you know, pretty much everything that you would expect to see completed with the project will be done. Then we'll be down to slurry sealing, some final sandblasting, which creates the wave pattern and the decorative crosswalks, and a few other minor items. And those will occur after the July 4th holiday.
Okay. And then there was some consideration, if I saw it correctly, of allowing the contractor to work on Saturdays some non-holiday Saturdays. Is the Wallace personnel able to work those Saturdays under this change order?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we've anticipated all the ideas that we have in terms of trying to move the project forward faster, accelerate the schedule on it, as well as the extended days have all been considered in the Wallace contract. So. Okay.
And then one last question is for me was, is there known construction change orders coming that are above our contingency, or is there anything obviously we can't anticipate the unanticipated at this point, but going forward smoothly, are we going to anticipate another change order from the contractor?
I don't actually anticipate any additional change orders from the contractor. We have a total of 11 change orders. Some of those aren't for money. Some of those are for time, and sort of some what I'd call cleanup change orders to address some, you know, we didn't want to build this way. We want to build it like that. But generally, I don't anticipate any significant or notable change orders at this point. We've pretty much ironed out all the bugs, and the remainder of the work is just a repeat now of the work that's been done. So we expect to run into the same kind of things. I'm pretty confident at this point. I won't say that Murphy's Law won't take effect again, but I don't anticipate any more.
Okay. That's all I had for now.
I have a question if I
could. Sure.
If I might. In Attachment 1, regarding the contract amendment, they're pretty specific about the reason why, or some of the reasons why, they need additional time. It says, the construction of the project has required a significant amount of additional time due to the contractor's lack of experience with developing adequate traffic control, traffic handling plans, and progress schedules, the use of a non-compliant concrete color, and so on. So I'm wondering, how do we deal with
it? Get the most experienced, most highly qualified contractor we could get. But again, that's probably why they got the low bid. You know, they're a little bit less experienced. They're bidding a project that's a little larger than they may be used to doing. And so we have to essentially make up the difference, and that is that we have a higher level of inspection. We really have to manage quality control a lot more strictly than we ordinarily would.
And so, Honorable Mayor and Council Members, I may dovetail, and I apologize for interrupting, but maybe just kind of addressing what I thought was part of your question, Mayor Pro Tem, and that is, if there are financial damages that the city sustained as a result of somebody's negligence or misconduct in the way they performed this work, then there are options for recovery of those funds at the end of the contract.
Okay. Thank you. So then when we go out to bid, do we ask for references for similar work or jobs of similar nature?
Absolutely. We check references. We get a list of past work experience. We contact other cities. We talk to, you know, similar people to myself, public works directors or people that would manage their capital programs, and we ask them how was their work, how did the work turn out, you know, were they aggressive on change orders? We want to know, did they have adequate staffing? Did they do a good job with their, you know, traffic control and scheduling and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
And generally, to disqualify a contractor, it would have to be something pretty significant, because you're going to basically declare that contractor
non-responsive.
Right. Non-responsive relates to did
right.
they submit the
exactly.
paperwork right, but they basically have to declare them non-responsible. I can assure you that not many contractors take that lightly.
I understand.
Could I just jump in there and tag on that? Go ahead.
And then just as a point of clarification, because that may have also not been clear, this is a federally funded project, and whether we are a charter city or a general law city, we have to go with the low bidder that is responsible and responsive.
I understand. My concern, it just seems like this happens to us so many times, where we end up with either the work is substandard and we end up having to have somebody come back and do it again, or we end up with these excessive change orders, or we end up having to spend a lot more money than we had intended. And, you know, I just, it's to me, I've been, you know, seeing this kind of bid and construction work for a long time. It just seems to me to be a bit off, that's all. So I just don't understand why it seems to happen to us
Madam
so
Mayor,
often.
If I could,
mm-hmm.
It could be, respectfully, that what happens is this is the forum where you hear about most of the problems. Maybe it would be better if we reported on all of our projects on a more regular basis. For instance, just call to mind, the South Sewer Project, which was a project that Brough, in fact, did, had very few issues associated with it. The South 13th Project, which we've just completed, the sidewalk project, had very few issues associated with it. The South if I'm not mistaken, a portion of the 4th Street project had very few issues associated with it, too. So, you know, it may sound like this is a repeat of a common issue, but I think what has happened is that staff has more frequently reported to you on those projects where we've had issues than those where we've had not. And maybe a lesson to be learned from staff is to just give you regular updates on all of those projects so you know which ones are tracking well and et cetera.
I think that's a good idea. And I wasn't trying to say it was just this contractor by any means. But I think you're right, because I know that there are some that come in under budget or come in, you know, ahead of schedule and that sort of thing. So I think you're absolutely right. It would be good for us, not only us, but the public, to hear that as well, because
sure.
They're hearing this like we are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would not be a bad idea. So thank you.
I did want to piggyback on one of your questions about going after references and ask, have you ever given a bad reference?
Yes.
Have you ever received a bad reference?
Yes.
Okay. So my understanding, and the reason I asked the question is, sometimes when you when an employer, now I'm sure this would never happen in government.
How do I say this appropriately? The benefit that we've received, has that outweighed the concerns from Brough Construction? I mean, obviously the Walsh Group does a great job with regards to the work that they've done for us. I just want to make sure that the work that we've gotten translates into an overall global savings potentially on the project from a safety standpoint or whatnot.
I really am glad you asked that question. You know, and I'd go through a huge laundry list of reasons why I'm very, very, very proud of the project team we have on this project. We went through a pre-audit review with Caltrans Local Assistance today, and consistently throughout this roughly three-hour pre-audit, which, you know, they were anticipating a federal audit because it's a federally funded project, consistently what the Caltrans staff said is, this is the best work we've seen. This is the best documentation. This is the best field reports we've seen. This project is going to fly through a federal audit with no issues. That was the first thing. If that federal audit comes back and they find issues, they will take their money back, or they will take pieces of it back as they find problems with the project. The second item, and specifically I want to give credit to the Wallace Group on this, is that we have achieved a degree of quality assurance that I don't think this city's ever seen. And I mean that. I can say that with confidence. The quality assurance on this project is exemplary. We have every detail down to the finest taken care of, and we're going to have a product that's going to last. I'm very confident in that. They've done a great job in assisting the contractor with traffic control and safety issues, and in this case, you know, again, this is coming back to the experience and skill level of the contractor. I think they needed assistance. So, yes, we have seen enhancements in safety as a result of Wallace groups. I'm overjoyed by the services we've received so far.
Any other questions?
Just throw out a comment that the 16.5% soft cost is well within industry standards.
Thank you. Any comments before I weigh in? No? Okay. So I did want to weigh in on this because what we're seeing here, and I know what we've seen with some other projects, and granted it's not all the projects, but what we're seeing here is when problems arise, possibly because of taking the lowest possible bid, there's more to manage, so we spend more money on managing. We have to call in experts. We have more possibly potentially in legal costs if we have to go after the money we've lost, so we lose time and energy there. We have more change orders, so more money comes in there. And then in some cases, there's the cost to redo it, maybe not even once, maybe twice. And so my concern here, and this is global, this isn't about our charter, this is global, this is about contracting, is that the system's broke. And I think we need to do something about that system. If it's broke, we need to start talking and we need to figure out, we need to get together with the unions and figure out how to fix it and ask for their assistance with that. So I did want to bring that up, and my understanding is from just some very brief talks I've had so far is that there are the lowest possible bid is a fairly antiquated process. And so I did want to say that I will be initiating talks with the unions and ask them to put their money where their mouth is. If they're going to provide us with the best possible people at prevailing wage, then bring it on. I want to see them, and we want to see it coming through in our contracts. So I will be having conversations about that. Also, I wanted to say that I did speak at length with both Greg and City Manager Peralt, and was really reassured by what both of them told me about the work of the Wallace Group. And I can tell you that I have been taking some heat. I have been taking a lot of heat from some prominent people regarding the choice of using the Wallace Group. And I have to say that in this instance, I have complete faith in the management skills and the judgment of our city manager and our city public works director. And I understand that the Wallace Group, this division, has done an outstanding job. And so although I'm taking heat, I will stand by the choices we've made here, and I think we've made the right choices. And where things have gone wrong does not fall on the city, does not fall on the Wallace Group in this case, but falls on a broken system that we need to do some work on, we need to address. So that's all I had to say on this one, and I believe this one was a roll call. Jeff, did you want to say something?
Representative of the Wallace Group, I know.
Yeah, did you want to come forward and say something? Let me open that up to public comment.
Mayor Pierce here to move forward with this, but after this is all said and done, is it possible for a debriefing almost with regards to how the city can either interact with its contractors in a different fashion so that we can potentially avoid some of that pain and heartache in the future?
Councilmember Lee, we'd be more than happy to participate in that. I think one thing that I will share with you, Bruff has done very good underground work. I think we've all seen that. Mr. Peralt mentioned their sewer work. They've done a wonderful job for underground work. But this project has been a little bit of a challenge. And I understand Mayor Peterson and Council Member Bright, your concerns with low bid. We face that a lot, just as Mr. Ray does too. It's a tough position to be in. But no, we'd be more than happy to come back and have a debriefing on the project with you all. That is not a problem.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. And thank you for reminding us that ultimately we are serving the people of Grover Beach, and I think you've done a good job at that, and I know that's our motivation here, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we've reached the stage now that we need a motion here. This is a roll call vote.
I'll go ahead and make a recommendation that we approve the amended professional services agreement with the Wallace Group and authorize the mayor to execute the agreement on behalf of the city.
I'll second that. We have a motion and second. Could we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember
Yes.
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 Yes. Unanimous again. And we're now moving into the council committee reports. And Mayor Pro Tem Bright, you're always first because of that alphabetical name of yours.
Yeah. All righty then. Well, I was kind of busy. So, let's see. I'll start with chronological order. Housing Trust Fund, not a whole lot to report. There was a long meeting, but mainly just nothing that is much to report other than SB 391, which was adding a fee to the recording documents. Board of Realtors majorly opposed that. As a result, they lobbied, and it is stalled in the state legislature for now. So that isn't going anywhere at this point in time. So that's kind of it for that meeting. Then, as alternate to the Visit San Luis Obispo County, that was on May 15th. Highlights of that meeting, there's a website update. They're working on finishing the content. They're populating the site. They expect it'll be about several weeks out till it's really ready to go. They did a soft launch. I noticed that I got an email today, but I did not get a chance to look at it. I don't know if you did, Jeff. But
yeah, I did get the email. I did try and get online, and I'm unsuccessful so far, so I'm going to give them a call tomorrow.
Okay. What they're asking is that you review the profile and you manage and edit it somewhat, or somebody does from the city. And they're asking for top three priorities for the city of this website. So that's that on that.
And just to interject there, and I think our Parks and Rec program director, Petker, is also involved in that process, too. So.
Very good. Okay, I figured it was, but of course, I was my first time there, so I was kind of at a loss. And then the other item was basically just our TOT totals might be interesting. Transient tax, occupancy tax. Come on, Karen. There was an increase of, and this is just from July of 2012 through March of this year, was up almost 5%. So I thought that was kind of good news. So that was it for that one. And then on May 16th, was the Zone 3 Flood Control and Water Conservation District. Good news. Overall, we're under budget by about 20%. They expect a refund about $325,000. The costs are about $330,000 less than budgeted this year. Due to upgrades and automations, the labor hours have decreased substantially. In 2010-11, they were at 24,500 thereabouts. They're estimated to be about 19,600 for HCP that they can do without this water availability analysis. So hopefully I'll have a little more information as far as where we really are with that HCP after our next meeting. We really are pushing hard for that because it's just kind of crazy. It's just been going on forever and a day. Then the last item is there is surplus water available. And let me just get to that page here. So surplus water in amount of 3,035 acre feet for the water year 2012-2013. So I guess if you haven't received that information, Mr. Peralt, I suppose you will, or somebody will here at the city, and we'll have the offer to purchase it if we so desire.
We'll follow up through the Public Works Director.
Okay. All right, then. So, and that concludes my reports. Thank you.
Good reports. Thank you very much. And now, Councilmember Lee.
If I can get back to my screen here, I want to say thank you to Karen for taking the Visit San Luis Obispo meeting on such short notice. And piggyback on one last comment is that if you do want to get your Savor the Central Coast tickets at a deep discount, they are available in May for the four-day passes. Go to their website, and you can do that. Other meetings that I had were the Integrated Waste Management Authority, the IWMA. This past meeting, we did approve a budget which included several pilot programs. I believe one in the North County, one in the South County, being South County being Cold Canyon, for a some food composting component of that. Because as I mentioned last month, the next hurdle is going to be to get to our next diversion. Compliance rate is going to be through food composting and food diversion. So it is a balanced budget. There was some discussion with regards to the general manager's salary and compensation package, and it was maintained at the level that he has in the past, with a slight addition to vacation hours. So that was the only thing that he hasn't had a salary increase or whatnot in the last, I believe it's 5 years, along with everyone else in the world. And so he's continuing that and still able to perform what he needs to do with budget-wise from that perspective. And then lastly, I'll just piggyback on Chief Copsey with regards to the Tip-A-Cop dinner, which is being promoted by the Chamber of Commerce, and obviously for Special Olympics, a very good cause there, with the Chamber also putting out feelers and flyers for banners to provide funding for our Stone Soup Festival and advertising along the streets in July and August. So if you're interested in those, go to their websites. So that's what I had for now.
Great. Do you have your table filled yet for the Tip of Cup?
I do, and I need to apologize to both Mayor Pro Tem Bright and Councilmember Nichols for completely messing up their possible attendance at my table.
You mean you've got 10 people already?
Well, no.
And you bumped them?
Well, actually, the tables are 8. I have 9. So
wow.
One of which is 8 years old. So that's why she fits. But I apologize to both of you for messing that up completely.
Mm-hmm. So you'll have to buy your own table.
We've made arrangements for food. We've made arrangements for food service to your table.
Okay.
You'll find out.
Okay. As long as Barbara forgives me, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I know.
That's great. Thank you, Councilmember Lee. And Councilmember Nichols?
I have not had any meetings this past 2 weeks.
And thank you again for taking on the RAC. We appreciate that. So for me, the Economic Vitality Corporation doesn't meet until this week. And however, I do have some information from them. They have been doing an economic study, and they've chosen, it's a preliminary study, it's a pilot study, and they've chosen 4 different projects to study the economic impact, and one of them has been our hotel. And I know that our community development director and city manager have done some significant work on that. The good news is that the figures that they came up with coincide with the figures that we received previously from the group Tausig. And so we are, I believe, I guess with the permission of the council, going to ask that the Economic Vitality Corporation come along and give us a report on that. Would you guys be good with that?
Yeah? Absolutely.
Okay. So we'll agendize that for a future meeting, and then I'll report on our meeting at the regular EVC meeting at our next council meeting. The Air Pollution Control District, it was another wonderful meeting, going over our limits on a couple of occasions. And they did go over on coliforms slightly in March, and they went over slightly in April on toxins. However, since then, and this is what they were trying to achieve, they had to take some risks there, and they did advise the regulatory authority, Regional Water Control Authority, who were aware of it, are really pleased with the way things are moving. Our relationship there is completely turned around, which is good news. And they now, I believe it was on toxins, their numbers, even though they have more toxic waste coming in than they did a year ago. Their numbers right now are the best they've been since before the year 2000, and we've done that in 4 months. So really, really pleased about that. And as far as coliforms are concerned, they're the best they've been in 10 years. And again, we've had worse waste in and better water out. So things are moving along really well there. Staff are empowered. They're positive. It's really exciting. And I know no one ever wants to come to a sewer meeting. It's just icky. But I highly recommend that you come because it shows what can be done when you've got a group of people who are really dedicated. And in closed session, we did agree to have the acting temporary interim consultant administrator and the two consultants that he's overseen, engineers and wastewater experts, we've agreed to have them bring forward something in writing for us to approve them to stay on perhaps to the end of the year. So we should be considering that at our next meeting.
Can I ask a question on that?
Sure.
And it's a sensitive question, so if it is too sensitive, tell me to shut up and go away. I had a moment of silence for John Seitz earlier this evening, and I know he was one of the attorneys who had done some work at the Sand District. Any impacts with his passing?
It's hard to say. I think we had a few issues getting some things taken care of regarding our agenda at the last meeting, which was understandable. They were resolved at the meeting, so that was covered. And really, it's his brother, Mike Seitz, who does the work. John did some backup, but Mike was our main guy. So nothing huge at this point. Yeah. Any other? No? Okay. So that was the... Oh, I jumped to South Sand. I didn't do it in alphabetical order. I was too excited. The Air Pollution Control District, something very important for people to know about, especially locally, is that they are considering their budget. They have just finished a court case which had been ongoing for, a couple of years. And one of the issues in it was notice, and there's still a small issue with their most recent notice of Rule 302. So I can't tell you for sure whether that's going to be considered at the next meeting. It may be, or they may have to put it off for a month if they want to address, correct their error there. However, Rule 302 and their budget are coming up together. They'll be heard in one meeting and then heard again two months later, so there's plenty of time for the public to get involved in that. But the Rule 302 will be asking for more money from state parks. Basically, they'll have to pay a permit fee. They'll have to pay fees for air pollution control monitors and fees for setting up the permits. And so it could amount to, say, around at least $42,000 a year and probably more. So for folks locally, if that's of concern, you might want to attend those meetings. The next meeting will be on Wednesday, the 29th of May, at 9:00 a.m. in the supervisors' chambers in San Luis. And then I wondered if also, that's all for me. Yeah, SLOCOG, I have nothing to... Oh, on SLOCOG, I've been sitting on their committee to help them with rebranding. And that's been very interesting. They've got some really professional people working there, and there's been tons of dissension among all the other committee members. It's like herding cats to get all of us elected officials to agree on something. So that's been entertaining, but I think they're making good progress. And finally, then, I was wondering if City Manager Peralt, you'd had a chance to attend the RAC last time, if there was anything to report?
Actually, we were incorrect with date. The date was the first Wednesday of the month, which was the first, and our meeting actually took place on the 6th. So consequently, I was not in attendance.
Lucky man. Okay, thank you for that, for clarifying that. We now have City Council member
Mayor?
Items. Yes, sorry.
Talk about the Homeless Services Oversight Council. And the third action item was to allow $3,000 from their budget to send people to the 100,000-person homeless thing, and that was adopted as well.
And lastly, there was an invitation to from the North Coast, North County Connection to celebrate, go up to Atascadero at 8600 Atascadero Avenue in Atascadero, California, on May 30th between 2 and 4 p.m., and to enjoy refreshments and tour their new facility. And I will leave this with the county clerk and city clerk, excuse me. I could leave it with the county, but they would just throw it away. I will leave it with Donna, our city clerk, if anybody wants to call in for information.
Thank you.
Sure.
All right. So,
if I may, I just want to note that the back of this has nice little handprints on the back, which match Councilmember Marshall's tie.
There's a method for my madness.
That is amazing branding. Good for you. Wow.
Mayor?
And we all liked your tie. Yes.
I would also like to give a brief report. As you recall, we had a presentation by Dana Cummings on the stand-down that was conducted last weekend at the Veterans Memorial Hall, and I did volunteer to participate in that. I don't have a lot of figures. They're not available yet, but I can tell you that it apparently was very successful. Awful lot of homeless people did attend. They had everything set up there. They had portable showers. They had portable dental work. They had portable community health center facilities there. The American Legion, which is at the end of the parking lot, the American Legion Hall, was set up to feed everybody. They had breakfast, lunch, and dinner on Saturday, breakfast, lunch on Sunday. The inside the Veterans Hall, they had all of the other services set up, such as help for employment, Goodwill with racks and racks of clothes that were available for them, social security personnel set up there to help the homeless and down-and-out people. Quite a wide range of assistance that was provided by so many organizations. So it was quite a good stand-down. I think it was very successful. I'm sure there will be some additional reports coming out once they get some figures together on it. But it was very successful, and I thought it was very well done.
That's great. Thank you for reporting on that. Says that it can be done.
Oh, yeah.
Great. And that's a nice little segue into our city council member items. Are there any other city council member items? None? I had a couple. I wanted to, first of all, report that I had mentioned in our last council meeting that I was attending a Public Records Act seminar on Wednesday, the 8th of May in San Francisco, and I did go to that, and it was really interesting because some of the thoughts I had on things and some of the things I thought were right weren't right anymore. They've changed. It's moved along. Court cases move along. Opinions move along. And so it was really helpful to me. And so as a result, I did want to bring back to the council, with your permission, I wanted to agendize the item on our fee schedule where we were charging, had moved to charge 20 cents for copies for public record requests, and I think that we may wish to revisit that decision. So I'm wondering if the council would be willing to bring that back. City attorney's looking at me like I'm crazy.
No, I thought the point of the area of concern or discussion was not what we charge per page for copies, but whether or not we have the ability to charge for requests that are for something other than documentary, and whether or not we are able to charge for labor for those requests. But if that has changed, then I guess that's the council's purview.
The question that arose was, can you charge for anything other than materials on photocopying? And That was the issue. So if you're providing something in the format which it's already in, or someone comes in and says, may I have a photocopy, the question is, can you charge for that photocopy anything more than the cost of the ink and the paper? And
no,
my understanding is that that the item that we passed, the fee, was for photocopying, for any photocopy. Am I wrong about that?
And again, we probably have to. If it's
not
a wish of the council,
we
should agendize it. But
yeah.
the 20 cents per copy to copy something that somebody requests is the cost of copying.
The most up-to-date thinking on the Public Records Act.
Why don't we ask staff to look into that?
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a problem, and if there's something that should be brought before the council, then bring it to the council for an agenda item.
And I will get with the city attorney and the city manager and make sure that they're clearer on what my concerns are.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree with that.
Okay. Great. So that was number one and number one. Number two of that was we've had some things arise, not just here on this council, but on other councils and committees, questions about Brown Act, questions about the Public Records Act. And I thought that it might be something that would be helpful to, and in fact, the city manager suggested that, and I agree with him, that perhaps we ought to schedule a workshop where we talk again about the Brown Act, where we talk again about the Public Records Act, and invite staff and commissions and the public to join us at those. So
excellent
if
idea.
You all are good with that, then...
Okay.
Just so staff is clear, Madam Mayor and council members, first of all, by invite meaning is the attendance mandatory or not?
Never mandatory. This
not
is
mandatory.
Okay. Nope. I don't believe in mandatory. This is the institutions are the institutions of the people, and if the appointees and the elected understand that, they will probably want to come along because it's very exciting.
Is it the council's intent to have this workshop as part of one of your council meetings, or are you looking to schedule a separate meeting? What is the wish of the council?
May I speak?
Yeah.
I think it needs to be part of a meeting, a regular meeting.
You know, really?
Oh, I think it's going to be so hard to get everybody together otherwise. I don't know. That's just my opinion. So
we've got five council members, but we've got Parks and Rec, and we've got planning, and you... So...
I know, that's my point. Mm-hmm. I mean, try and get...
Madam Mayor, if mm-hmm. I could, I would suggest, and perhaps the city attorney would indulge me, but in the past he's provided workshops regarding the Brown Act. My suggestion is that you we can come back and review meeting dates where you could do a special meeting for the council. You could extend invitations to the Planning Commission and Parks and Rec Commission and leave it at that. That way you don't have to, and we encourage them to attend, but as you said, not make it mandatory. And then I think it would be useful to review, again, the Brown Act, how it applies to committees, subcommittees, et cetera, mm-hmm. For your own use and encourage the others to attend.
Thank you. And I, you know, jumped in and said not mandatory, but, you know, I don't make decisions for the council, so are you guys good with that?
Oh, no.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I think we're...
Yep. Okay. I do have one thing I'd like to say, though. I don't know if this would be under council communications. No, not really. But I'd just like to say that I participated in a Grover Beautiful, I don't know what we call it, on Saturday. Jeff was there as well. There were folks there, and I just want to thank them for being there. There was ladies from Nail Divas, and one of those ladies doesn't even live in our town. She lives in Santa Maria. She happens to work here, but you know, I just think that it's really, really incredible that people take time out of their day, don't even live here, and come here and pull weeds and that sort of thing. So it was really very nice.
So what did you do? What did you clean up?
Long Branch and 14th, a medium there, pulled crabgrass. Bob, I don't think Bob likes me very much. He said, hey, Karen, why don't you go over there? Take care of that spot over there. Yeah, it was...
Actually, the city manager and I were up on Oak Park, and where were we?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, by the
South Oak Park,
right.
we were doing an island in there. Geez, I'm trying to remember where the cross street was.
I know. It was
down by the pike, wasn't it? Or
it was up just up from the pike, and it's near our de facto dog park.
I know Farrell. Nobody wanted to go there.
Farrell, that's south of Farrell.
Yeah.
And we would like to thank Fred for coming out and providing some assistance with the pickup towards the end of the day as well.
Oh, wow.
I'll leave it at that.
Well, thank you, all of you. And I had one other thing under, I guess, council communications. Several years ago, we brought up the question to the council of how the council felt about establishing a mayor emeritus program. And I raised it with Mayor Pro Tem, and she said, you know, let's go ask the council again. And there was some confusion about what it was and what it meant, and I've done a little more thinking and talking about it, and I just wanted to see if you guys would be...
I'd like to hear, since neither Glenn nor I were here when the past decision was made, if there was a reason not to do it. So I'd be willing to discuss it.
Sure. Yeah. I'm certainly willing to discuss it.
4 out of 5?
4 out of 5, I guess.
Okay. we'll discuss it then. All right. Any city manager reports and comments?
No.
no time. And city attorney, did you have reports and comments?
None. Thank you, Mayor.
But we do have some closed session items.
Certainly. It's the intent of the council to meet in closed session on 2 items. One of them is labor negotiations with all units. The other one is property negotiations, instruction to the negotiators regarding the property near Hill Tank Ranch Farm with Crown Castle as being Hillcrest. Thank you. With Crown Castle being the other negotiating party.
Thank you. So we are going to recess. It's 9 o'clock. We're going to recess into closed session. We'll come back and report back when we're finished.